Acts chapter 20, if you have King James Bible. And we're going to read one verse together, verse number 27. Acts 20, verse number 27. And let's read, shall we, all together. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And shall we pray? Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Again, please bless now this morning's sermon. Thank you for these dear folks that are here. And dear Holy Spirit of God, please speak to our hearts. And I pray we pay attention to the very words of God this morning. And Lord, help us not to be distracted or be a distraction. Please help us to pay attention on purpose. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Paul's about to leave them. He's going to tell them that, you know, you're probably not going to see my face. You're not going to see me anymore. And one of the last things he says before he departs from these people, verse 27, says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." We'll talk to you this morning about a balanced diet, a balanced spiritual diet, all the counsel of God. We had just gotten married, my wife and I. We were living in the trailer park. We were trailer trash in 1983 in Jacksonville, North Carolina, when I was in the Marine Corps. And we used to have a family, a Mexican family across the street from where we lived. And they invited us over for, I think, their son's or daughter's one-year birthday or something like that. And I growing up Greek, I don't think I've ever had Mexican food until that very day, to be quite honest with you. I didn't know what a taco was. You know, you laugh at this now. It really, when you think about it, it's funny. But I never went to a taco place. I never had tacos before. Never had Mexican food. It was the first time I had ever experienced Mexican food. And so, and there was a lot of people there, you know. And so I remember the mother there, the daughter, the wife, she gave me a plate, and it was just full. I mean, it was a plate, and just all I saw was red on it. Everything was red, and chili and everything else. And I sat, and I started eating, for the first time in my life, Mexican food. And I'm telling you, that stuff was hot. Now, I'm used to, we call it in Greek, lukanyiko. That's, they make, you know, you get the intestines, and you put the meat in there, you grind the meat, put it in there, and you put hot peppers and stuff like that. And I like that because I like, you know, being hot. But I never tasted anything this hot. And this stuff was very hot. And I started saying to myself, there's no way I'm going to eat all this. Beans and everything. You can imagine what this whole thing was. I did not know what Mexican beans and chili was. Had no idea, to be honest with you. I sat down. I forced myself to eat it. Not that I wanted to. Not that I liked it. But I forced myself. I remember sitting sitting on the couch there. And she was, you know, running back and forth like a lady's supposed to do, you know, being a good hostess and taking care of the people there. And she, like in one swift, as she was flying by, one swift move, she, without stopping, she looks at my plate, she sees it, it's empty, she says, "Oh, you like it, you want some more?" She doesn't stop for an answer. She takes my plate, goes into the kitchen, fills it up, and comes right back. And I said to myself, "Oh." And there I had to sit for my second plate, first time ever of hot, spicy Mexican chili beans, whatever else. I really don't know. Remember what it was. I just remember it was a mound of red chili beans or whatever it was. I've learned now since then to love hot Mexican food. I've learned, but I never had it before. That was my first introduction. I was 26 years old. First time I ever had Mexican food. Some things that you don't like are good for you. Sometimes the most bitter things in life are the necessary ingredients in life. Now, I would not give hot chili sauce or pepper to babies that are newborns because it's not good for them. You have to be a little grown up, a little bit older to start eating hot stuff. Meat is not good for newborn babes. Meat is good for you, for adults, but it's not good for newborn babies. But meat is good. Unfortunately, today, most people are not eating right. Most people usually grow up physically okay, depending on what their physical diet is. But today, most people are not eating right, and so they have the wrong diet, and thus they have health problems in direct correlation to the foods that they are eating or the fake foods. You've heard of fake news? I'm going to talk to you about fake food that ruins your diet. They are spiritually weak people. They're spiritually sick people. They're spiritually unstable people. And they're unwilling to do what God commands them to do because they're not mature and having grown up with a good diet, a balanced diet of everything. These are spiritually sick believers who love the world but not God. They love the things of the world, but not souls. They love themselves, but not the Word of God. They love their concerts and vacations and pleasure, but not preaching. I said this in the adult Bible study, we're going through the King James Bible. You will never get your heart and your mind and your life right until you get a King James Bible and start reading it. It won't be the church. It won't be the pastor. It'll be a King James Bible that'll change your mind, your heart, your thinking, and your life. I got saved in 1978 and thank God it was a Baptist lady who gave me a tract. And she kept bombarding me with gospel tracts, I don't know, once a week or every other day. It was like she had an amazing assortment of different tracts because every day was a different one. I don't know how many weeks went by. She had a different tract to give me. And then she took a Bible out and showed me from the King James Bible and the book of Romans that I was a sinner. I needed salvation. And finally, I got saved. And so after I got saved, I moved out of New York City, went back to South Jersey, you know, where I grew up my later teenage years. And the first thing I started doing was looking for a church. And because she was Baptist, I said, well, I'll look for a Baptist church. I went to a few churches, and I found one that I thought was comfortable. I didn't know anything about the Bible, as I told you in the adult Bible study. I didn't know anything from Genesis to Revelation. All I knew about Jesus, and I was born again. And I remember going to this church where I got baptized, by the way, in the Cherry Hill Baptist Church. And the pastor there from North Carolina used to have literally three different translations, perversions on the pulpit. And once in a while, he would use the King James Bible. And I didn't know any different. I had no idea. And so he would use it. Oh, he said, I like the way the American Standard Version says it. Then he said, I like the way the New American Standard Version. Then he said, I like the way the Revised Version says it in this verse. And once in a while, he'd say what the King James Bible says. I didn't know any different. I was just going to church. I was, you know, glad I was saved. All I knew about Jesus, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. And then I started listening to religious radio. You're not going to believe this, but back then, 38 years ago, religious radio sometimes was pretty good. Not the charismatic stuff that you hear on the radio these days. And so I was listening, and the three or four preachers, I can still name them, they were on the radio one after another for like 3 hours in a row on a Sunday, sometimes on Saturday, but like 3-4 hours in a row, or at least 2-3 hours in a row on a Sunday. And I'd listen to them. Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon, I can't remember which. And he said, get yourself a King James Bible. Get yourself a King James Bible. Get yourself a King James Bible. And if the church doesn't have a King James Bible, he says, get out of it. And I started studying and reading why I should get a King James Bible. And I made the decision. I came to the decision in my life that I needed a King James Bible. So I got my New American Standard Version. I ripped it up, tore it up in front of my mom. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm throwing this away. She says, that's the Bible. He says, this is not a Bible, I said. And I just threw it in the trash. And I went to a Presbyterian church. My wife and I were married in the Bible Presbyterian Church in Collingswood, New Jersey, because they used a King James Bible. And they went out in the streets handing out tracts and telling people they need to be born again. Where the conservative Baptist church, I put that in quotes now, where I was baptized, didn't have a King James Bible, never went soul winning, never went visiting, never preached, but I got baptized there. Now, again, I was still young as a babe in Christ. I didn't know much in the Bible. I was just growing, just growing. And then it came years after that, we got married there, but after that, I finally realized I needed to be in a Baptist church because Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and that's why I've been a Baptist now for the last 36 years, however long that's been. But it was a growth process of growing. See, when you're born again, you're like a babe in Christ. You're new in Christ. You don't know much until time passes and you start reading. You start listening. You start hearing. You start studying the Word of God. A person that doesn't have a King James Bible is not growing and will never grow to maturity, spiritual maturity. So why do you say that? So, I think it was last week I touched on the new international version. This week I want to talk about what they call the new King James version. It's not a new King James. It's a perversion of the King James Bible. The new King James is copyrighted. The old King James is not copyrighted because God owns that. The new King James Version logo on the front has a 666 symbol, which is the pagan trinity that ancient Egyptians used. It was also used by Satanist Aleister Crowley. The symbol is also seen on the New King James Bible, on certain rock albums like Led Zeppelin's, and on the cover of such New Age books as The Aquarian Conspiracy. This is by Pastor James Melton. He printed this up. What's wrong with the New King James Bible version? I'm not making this up. I'm just telling you. In the New King James Version, there are 22 omissions of hell, 23 omissions of blood, 44 omissions of repent, 50 omissions of heaven, 51 omissions of God, and 66 omissions of Lord. The terms devil, damnation, Jehovah, and New Testament are completely omitted. In John 1:3, the King James Bible says, all things were made by Jesus Christ. The New King James perversion says all things were just made through him. The word servant replaces son in Acts 3:13 and Acts 3:26. The New King James version in Hebrews 10:14 replaces are sanctified with are being sanctified. Like, it's not, salvation is not instantaneous, like it's a process. That's Catholicism, ladies and gentlemen. That's by keeping the sacraments, ladies and gentlemen. That's not a Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, 18, and 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 15, it replaces the words are saved with are being saved. So when you see somebody has a New King James Bible, say, oh, it's just the same, it doesn't really matter. Oh, I ask you if this matters or not. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 14, has, in the New King James Version, says it's a difficult way, where Jesus said, in the King James Bible, it's a narrow way. It's not difficult to get saved. It's just narrow. God made it easy for people to get saved. It's not difficult. But the New King James Version says you got to continue being saved. It's difficult to be saved. In Titus chapter number 3, the King James Bible references the heretic, to reject the heretic, you remember, after the second admonition. But the New King James perversion says to reject a divisive man. Well, the Bible says there was a division because of Jesus Christ. So when you say, you see, it says just, it's a New King James Version, Pastor. It's not a King James Bible. Get rid of it. It's a perversion. It's somebody who wants to make money off of God's people that doesn't know, that they don't know the truth or don't care to know the truth. And I got a whole list of here verses that they change words. It would shock you if you don't know this stuff. What I'm saying is you'll never grow unless you eat the right food. And you will be spiritually sick if you eat poison food that have artificial sweeteners in it and artificial colors in it and artificial preservatives in it. Because it just, all you care about is your taste buds, and you don't care about any other organ in your body. So what the devil's done, he has deceived God's own people, and that's why God's people are so immature today. I'm going to talk to you about a well-balanced diet. A well-balanced diet. If you do not have a King James Bible, you need to have a King James Bible. It's that simple. If you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have a Bible. Now, we're going to turn to some scriptures here, and then I'm going to preach, okay? Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want you to see this with your God-given eyeball in the Bible, in the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And here's the reason why people are still spiritually immature and even emotionally immature, and people never grow up. I'm telling you, this is the reason right here. They do not have a well-balanced spiritual diet. Everybody just wants sugar. Go ahead, just drink, just eat sugar for the rest of your life, see how you turn out. Huh? Sure, it tastes good, it's sweet. It's not good for your health. First Peter chapter number 2, verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, watch this now, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that what? You may grow thereby. My wife nursed all our six children, all right? And I think mothers, if you're able to, you ought to nurse, because it's the best thing. Colostrum and mother's milk, breast milk, is the best thing for a child, a newborn child. And that's what you need. When you're a newborn babe, you need the milk of the word of God. If you've gotten saved recently, about a week or two ago, or a month or two ago, or this year, or last year, I want you to tell you that Jesus loves you. Thank God for God's mercy. Thank God for God's grace, because God will love you like nobody else loves you. And you ought to go home reading this book and just fall in love with Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. And when you do that, you're drinking the milk of the sincere milk of the word of God. But if you don't drink the milk, if you're not reading the Bible, you're not growing. And today's radio stations and today's television religious programs, man, that's straight out of the pits of hell, man. That stuff is straight from Satan. 90% of it is. And you wonder why people's minds are poisoned. They're not reading the King James Bible. So as newborn babes, you're supposed to desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. People who are not reading the King James Bible, listen to me good, are not growing spiritually. It's not complicated. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 18. Jesus said you must be born again, didn't he? John chapter 3, verse 7, you must be born again. Well, when you're born again, you become a babe in Christ. You're a newborn babe. I may have learned about some things in the world and about life, but I didn't know anything about God. So I was a baby needing to learn what God said about me and about him, about life. Matthew chapter number 18. And this is true for every single one of us in this room. Do you know, if you're saved, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, every single one of us was at the point of a spiritual birth, and we didn't know much. And all of us had to grow from that point of being a newborn babe to wherever we're at right now. Matthew chapter number 18. I'll get there. Verse number 3. Jesus speaking, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as what? Little children. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Take your Bible, turn to chapter number 19, verse number 14. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. The same thing is in Mark 10:15. The same thing is in Luke 18:17. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Well, I just don't believe in the King James Bible anymore. You know what? You are spiritually retarded. I don't mean to say that in a mean way. You know what retarded means? Stunted. That's what it means. You're educably slow is a phrase they use nowadays. But you're spiritually retarded. You're spiritually educably slow because you don't have the sincere milk of the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Now, these are fellow believers, brothers. Even as unto what? Babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. There's milk in the word of God. There's meat in the word of God. Paul says, brethren, I fed you with milk, not with meat, because you're carnal. You haven't grown up yet. I have fed you with meat and meat. I'm sorry, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Well, when we come together as a church, you understand, there are people in this church that have just gotten saved this week. And there are people in this church who have been saved for 30, 40, 50 years. And I have to present a well-balanced diet to everybody. Everyone. Adult Bible study, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, old paths in the valley, the tent meeting preaching, the loyalty meeting preaching, One of my jobs as a pastor is to feed the people of God a spiritual diet that is well balanced. My Bible says let's go to Ephesians chapter number, 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. I don't want to skip some of these. 1 Corinthians 14. I can never overemphasize to you to read the Word of God over and over again. Read it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. That means you ought to grow up in understanding things. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. So there's some things that we know a lot about. Like we know how to be angry. We know how to be mad. We know how to get even with people. Well, why don't you know how to love people, be merciful, and be kind, and be grown up in those areas, and know more about that than you know about your emotions? Now, he's talking, watch in verse number 20, about children and men. You're either a boy or you're a man. You're either a child or you're an adult. Physically and spiritually. Look, take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. I want to read this whole, I want to read so much more about this, but Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse number 14. That we henceforth be no more what? Children. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth, and the Bible says God is truth. The Bible says the word is truth. And if you don't have the King James Bible, you don't have the truth. But speaking the truth in love may what? Grow up. Is that coming from heaven? Did you hear that? Are you hearing voices? Are you hearing audible voices? But speaking the truth in love, but speaking the truth in love may what? Grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we ought to know what God says, not be like a little child that's tossed to and fro. Whatever heresy comes around, we go with that. You don't know. You ought to know what God says so that you become mature, a grown up, and you can understand and study it and listen to it. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. This is why people can't take hard preaching anymore. Say, Pastor, why do you say those kind of things? Because some people in our church need it. You may not need it, but somebody else may need it. Pastor, you said this over and over again. That's because we need it over and over again. You know. People say, you know, they criticize. Well, how come you don't talk on love and mercy and forgiveness? We do. Maybe you missed a sermon. Maybe you missed that Bible study. Maybe you missed a Sunday morning sermon. Maybe you missed a Sunday night sermon. Maybe you missed the Wednesday night Bible study. Maybe you missed going out and knocking on doors and telling people how to be saved from hell. That's the love of God right there. Maybe you missed going out in the streets and handing out gospel tracts. That's the love of God right there. But say, well, you know why they criticize about, you know, our lack of love or grace or mercy or forgiveness? Because they don't preach on the meat. They preach on the milk. They're just little babies. Look, thank God for the Army, thank God for the Navy, thank God for the Air Force. But I'd take the Marine Corps any day. I'm sorry. See, I'm biased, I'm prejudiced. You're right, I am. I went three years in the Marine Corps, and I enjoyed the Marine Corps, to be honest with you. You know what? Not everybody can take the Marine Corps. Not everybody can hack it. I understand that. That's why there's an Army. You know what Army means? You know what Army stands for? Aren't Marines yet. Right. It's in the Bible somewhere, in 4th John, amen? But I'm just saying, thank God for the Army, and thank God for the Air Force, and thank God for the Navy. I'm not against them. But don't stop the Marines for doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so it's almost akin when other people get mad at you or I or our church because we dare teach and preach on the meat of the Word of God for people who want to grow up and be mature Christians. One of my jobs is to give a well-balanced diet to as many people as I possibly can at the very same time. It's like, do you ever go to a, what's it, a smorgasbord? No, it's, yeah, it's a smorgasbord, all you can eat, whatever, you go on the line. Well, if you don't like something, don't take it. Take the other food. If you want milk, just take the milk, amen? But if you want meat, there's a lot of meat here, amen? There's a lot of meat served on Sunday nights, amen? A lot of meat served at the Old Paths in the Valley meetings. There's a lot of meat served at the tent meetings. There's a lot of meat served at the Hellfire and Damnation loyalty meetings. A lot of meat available. Don't spit on the meat because you're just drinking the milk. Don't get mad at the people eating the meat, just like vegetarians get mad at meat eaters because they're sick in their mind. They don't want to eat any meat. And they want to force you not to eat any meat at all. Well, if they don't want to eat any meat because they're immature, let them stay immature and babes. But don't stop me from eating meat in the Word of God or meat or eating venison, amen? Do you realize this Saturday is going to be St. Venison's Day? You know that, right? Okay. Hebrews chapter number 5, verse number 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, if you've been saved for a year or two or three, you ought to grow up enough to be able to teach somebody else, ladies and gentlemen. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of what? Milk, and not of strong meat. Watch this, please. Let's read from the King James Bible. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. A baby, a newborn baby that we talked about. But strong meat, people say, I don't like this. This is too tough. I love tough meat, man. There's just something about a man with a steak, and I like good steak too, but I'm just saying there's something with a fork and a knife and digging into a good beef or a good steak, amen. I don't care what you think. I love it. Well, that's what it says. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who that are of full age. That means they're mature. They're grown up. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Guess what? I still eat my vegetables. I still eat fruit. I'm not saying to get rid of your milk if you like milk. I don't drink milk because I think cow's milk is not good for you. I think you ought to, if you're going to drink milk, you ought to do goat's milk. It's better for your stomach. I'm just telling you. Look it up. Search it if you want. But if you want to drink milk, go ahead and drink it. I drink water, but I still take my vegetables because they're good for me. I still take my fruit because it's good for me. But you better give me, I tell my wife, you better give me meat on Friday. I want at least on, unless I'm fasting, I want meat on every Friday, amen? It's in the Bible. Chapter 6, verse 1. That's why people don't understand. You can't discern between good and evil in verse 14 because you're only on milk. So why do you get so mad about this kind of... Why do you preach about the sodomites all the time and the lesbians and the homosexuals and the queers and the perverts and the faggots? Why? Because you don't understand this book. I bet you you're not reading this book. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ... Let us go on to perfection. That's not sinless. Perfection in the Bible means mature, grown up, adulthood. Perfect in the Hebrew, perfect in the Greek, and perfect in the English, all it means is grown up and mature. So leaving those things, the milk things behind, those of us who've been saved for a while, we ought to move forward, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. I mean, you ought to, some of you, if you've been saved for 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, you ought to know what baptism is about. You ought to know what salvation is about. You ought to know how you got saved and what the Bible says about salvation. Now, if you only got saved, you probably don't know anything about it. You say, Pastor, why are you always raising your voice like that? You go ahead and read Isaiah where it says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. You'll get there while reading your Bible. Don't worry. I see, my old pastor never did. Yeah, you want a monotone, dead pastor who doesn't have a King James Bible, has nothing to preach about, never goes soul, never goes street preaching. Well, they're spiritually stunted in their growth. They're spiritually retarded in their growth. Retarded doesn't mean stupid. It just means they're stunted. They're retarded. Everyone who comes to our church comes from all different levels of maturity and spiritual growth. And I have to decide what it is from the Word of God that I need to feed them that they need. Not what they want, but what they need. My Bible says in John 6, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, and said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" And in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Hey, Jesus gave milk to everybody to get saved. But he also preached meat. And even his disciples left him. It should be no shock if somebody gets mad at the preaching. In John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." In John 15, he said, "Abide in me." That's growth. And in all of John 15, the first half of John 15, talks about fruit and growth. Being nice is not the same as being kind. Nice can smile but still butcher babies before they're born. Nice can still hate God and God's word and God's people and God's man. But kind is loving God and loving others. See, you've replaced the word kind in the Bible with being nice to people. Because you can put a fake smile on fake book, that doesn't mean you're kind. Romans chapter number 11, verse 22 says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God." So there's a goodness of God and the severity of God. What do you do with that? You serve them both. Don't spit on the meat if you just want the milk. You take your milk, and Lord willing, you'll grow. You keep drinking your milk, and one day you'll grow up and say, "You know what? I want to chew on some milk. I want to start chewing on some meat right now." Amen. You'll get there if you're reading the Bible. If you're reading the Word of God, you'll get there. But the reason you've been saved for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you can't take the Word of God preaching, you're sucking on milk somewhere. Or you're not even drinking any milk. You're drinking poison milk from a perversion. Matthew 11:6, Jesus said, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." In Matthew 13:21, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." People are easily offended today because they're not mature. Thy word, what's it say, Psalm 119, verse 165? "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." I didn't write that. God said that. If you fell in love with the Word of God, there is nothing that can offend you. Amen. You and I are offended when we don't love the Word of God and so other people hurt us. Well, get used to it. People are going to hurt you on purpose. They're going to let you down. They're going to stab you in the back. They're going to talk about you. They're going to gossip. They're going to try to deceive you. Welcome to life, ladies and gentlemen. Grow up and mature. Matthew 10:22, Jesus said, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Luke 9:23, he said unto them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4:10, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after," second page, "they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." 1 John 2:19 says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 57, "And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house." You've heard me preach on Romans 8:28 before. We know that all things work together for good, right? To them that love God. Right? You've heard me preach that sermon if you were here a year or two or three ago. I preached on all the baking materials if you were here, and I took all the bitter stuff, you know, the salt. You can't eat salt by itself, and you can't have vanilla by itself, and you can't have baking soda by itself, and it's disgusting. But you put them all together and put them in the fire, you like that cake, don't you? Well, that's how life is. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God. Not just the good things in life, but the horrible things, the bitter things, what you think are bad things. God says you got to put them all together, and then you got to be willing to go through the fire. You can't grow. You'll never grow up if you're giggling in church and talking while the preaching is going on. You'll be mature for the rest of your life. You'll just be good. You can laugh and giggle, but I'm telling you, you'll never amount to anything and grow up in God's eyes when you're immature. Titus 1:3 says that God has manifested his word through preaching. So bitter things and sweet things of life all combined will make you better. And bitter things and sweet things in the word of God makes you better. Bitter and sweet preaching and teaching makes you better. We all need it, ladies and gentlemen. Not just sugar and playtime and nap time, boys and girls. You need to learn to grow up spiritually. When people come to church, some of them are going through trials and burdens and heartaches. They've suffered betrayals. They've been forsaken. They've been hurting, and they're broken. They need love and mercy and forgiveness. On the other hand, there are people who are just rebelling against God. One of the signs or pictures of immaturity with God's people is a lack of reconciliation towards others that have hurt you or that you have hurt them. Most people are not willing to humble themselves and try their best to make it right with others. And I know how difficult it is because I've been through it. You have to humble yourself. But it's the best thing to do because that's what God wants you to do. Say, well, it was their fault. Doesn't matter. You go to your brother, go to your sister and make it right. Even if it's your fault, you ought to humble yourself and go to them and ask for forgiveness. I didn't want to do it, but God told me in the Bible I need to reconcile with people. And you know what? It was the best thing I did, ladies and gentlemen. Now, something I did 10 years ago, that I let it go for 10 or 20 years at that point. I'm just saying you can reconcile with your ex-friends, enemies, neighbors, coworkers, with everybody in general, if you are right with God. Jesus said in John 15, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, people who are on milk can't do everything that God says in the Bible. And so don't worry about it. If I come to something in the Bible, I'm preaching about it, you say, well, Pastor, I'm not there yet. I'm not mad at you. I'm not going to be angry at you. You just keep drinking your milk. You're going to come to that point later, a little later on, where you're going to be strong enough and old enough and mature enough. You're going to say, Pastor, I'm ready to do that right now. Amen. There'll be time. Don't worry. You'll be shocked how often I preach to myself when I'm preaching, because I don't hear preaching. I'll rattle some things off like I'm rattling today, and I need some preaching too. I'm a sinner like everybody else. First John 5 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So we know that you love the children of God when you keep his commandments. King James Bible. He said in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You say, Pastor, I can't do that. Well, God says his commandments are not grievous. The reason you can't, you don't want to, you choose not to, because you're a baby drinking milk. And I'm not against you drinking milk. Go ahead and drink that milk. But if you're 20 years old, only drinking milk, they're probably pumping some fluids in you to keep you alive. A baby, yes, milk. 6 months, 12 months later, 2 years later, 4 years later, give that kid some meat, ladies and gentlemen. Make him grow. Give him some protein. Jesus said in Luke 6:26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. You hear somebody says, well, nobody had a bad word to say about him. That's, you know why? Because he wasn't right with God. I'm telling you, when I die, I want the queers and the faggots to be happy. When I die, I want the sodomites to be happy. Yeah. When I die, I want the left-wing socialists to be happy because they hate me. I know they hate me and they hate my preaching. Well, guess what? Jesus said, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. A baby just wants everybody to like them. A baby wants everybody to love them. You can't force everybody to like you. Would you friend me? Will you like me? Will you follow me? You know how stupid and idiotic that is? That tells you how immature our society is today, ladies and gentlemen. When you miss church services, you do not know what spiritual food was being served that day. that you needed for your spiritual growth. So why don't you preach on that or this? And I usually say, well, I already have. You either didn't start coming before that, at that point, or you just missed the sermon that I taught it. You didn't think it was that important to get your diet. Of course, you'll eat 3 meals a day, physical meals. You'll eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner because, you know, most of America is a bunch of gluttons today. But when it comes to spiritual food, you couldn't care less if it's King James Bible. That's why you're spiritually sick. You choose not to read the Word of God. You choose not to come to dinner. You choose not to come to supper time. You choose not to come for breakfast or lunch. You choose that. I know it seems I preach on things more than others, you know, and that may be true. It's because too many churches today are not preaching the truth of all the truth. The Bible says, Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I'm supposed to tell you everything I know from this book. All the counsel of God. All of it. It's time people grew up. These people don't preach the entire counsel, the whole counsel of God. You look at the church, look at their pastors. They talk about their college, their alma maters, their degrees, how cool they are, but they don't go soul winning. They go on visitation. They don't hang gospel tracts on a street corner. They hang door hangers. You know, they don't go street preaching because it's too uncouth today. They don't run buses into projects and pick up poor people and homeless people to bring them to church. They want their Mercedes-Benz and Audis and all the rich people coming driving to their church. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you heard a subject or a topic that I preached on. So, well, I heard that before, Pastor. Well, maybe you need a refresher course. You do it for your work. You do it for your professional career. You do it for money. Why don't you sit there and say, you know what? Maybe I'll listen to this again. Maybe there's something the first time I missed. I mean, you'll sit there and watch that stupid movie on Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day that you've seen 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times, teaching you how to be a socialist. But you can't take the same sermon twice or three or four times. It's a wonderful life. It's not a wonderful life without Jesus. I say it's not a wonderful life without a King James Bible, but you'll sit there and love that. Oh, I love this part. Here it is. Listen, watch this. You've seen that 5, 10, 20 times, but you get mad at the preacher because I said something twice, three times. Because you're not mature enough to know there's somebody here for the first time, or they've only been coming for 2 weeks or 2 months or 1 year, and they haven't heard the truth that you have. That's immaturity. You'll watch the same highlights from the football game over and over again. You'll find highlights from 20, 30, 40 years ago. Who won the Super Bowl? Who won the World Series? The National Basketball Championship? You'll watch the highlights over and you know what's happening. You saw them over and over and over again. But when it comes to preaching, you're too immature to take it. I already heard that. I know everything about that. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Somebody else needs to be encouraged. Somebody else wants to grow up. Somebody else needs to hear the truth. The least you can do is listen to the same subject that's being rehashed and reheated and recooked and reserved for the other babes in Christ who are trying to grow up in Christ. And sometimes you disagree with the sermon. I disagree with a lot of things I say. It's because I got to get my act right with God too. I'm no different than you are. But God's right when I've been wrong. God's right when I've been left. I don't know why would you ever disagree with anything I say. I just can't figure it out. But if you're mature, you would sit there patiently and try to get something out of the message. You know, anytime we went to a funeral yesterday, anytime I try to go to a funeral, even if it's a wedding, I always try to listen to some kind of words the priest or the pastor or some reverend would say during some sermon or topic he's going to talk about. Even if it's a Catholic church, Protestant church, unbelieving church, I try to get something out of it. So I'm trying to learn as much as I can from everybody. But you know it all. You know why? Because you're a babe. You're not mature. You're not patient. You don't have to agree with everything I say. That's not a litmus test. If you're saved and you love the Word of God, at least you should try to sit there and try to listen, pay attention, follow along, and encourage other people going the same direction. That's why we can't dress right. We can't preach right. We don't go soul winning. Churches are dropping their buses and their vans. You know. It'll be a dark day on this church when we stop bringing drunks and bums and harlots and prostitutes and whores and thieves to church. It'll be a dark day when we stop bringing druggies and dope heads and crackheads to church. It'll be a dark day we stop bringing thieves and criminals to church because Jesus said, go preach the gospel to the poor. And that's what our church ought to do. We ought to try to reach everybody. Everybody in our church has different needs. It's a body. Different parts of the body have different needs. The Bible says the rich and poor meet together. Sometimes, all times, really, most everybody here has to suffer because of the consequences of our sins in the past and our rebellion and our disobedience. Well, you need to ask God for grace and wisdom because there's sometimes you can't do anything about the past that you did something 10, 20, 30 years ago. It's going to come back and haunt you. The best thing to do is pay attention. Hey, you young people, learn from our mistakes and don't do those things that we used to do because you're going to regret it one day. And some of you can sit in here, I'm telling you, you're going to remember this sermon 5, 10 years from now if you're alive and say, I should have listened to the preacher. Because now it's going to come back and haunt you over and over and over again. I see most immature people crack under pressure, going through the most minor stuff. While I see other mature people going through tremendous heartaches and burdens and trials and weathering the biggest storms of life because they have Jesus in the King James Bible. People are hurting. They're sorrow. They have sorrow in their heart. They're struggling. They're burying loved ones. Doctors give them some bad news. They're brokenhearted. They have no help. They feel deserted and betrayed. They're mocked and hated and scorned by the world. They're falling victims to temptations or being allured, drawn away. They're being tested. Maybe you just need patience. Maybe people have forgotten about you. You feel unappreciated. Join the crowd. Maybe you feel like you're all alone. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said we're not alone. Amen. And then there's other people, they need to hear preaching against their sins. I don't care whether it's gambling or drugs, alcohol, porn, power, love of money, stealing, filthy mouth, fake friends and fake followers. Somebody's falsely accused you or distorted truths to become lies, troublemakers, rebels, people that are disobedient to God, presumptuous, people that are hypocrites, refusing to listen. People that are lazy and cheaters, they have a welfare mentality. That's what's wrong with Troy. They have a welfare mentality. Go get a job. Learn how to work. And then get yourself a second job. The reason you're not going to like this church and this kind of preach is because you're too stinking lazy to get a job. So I don't like your preaching. That's because you don't like the way God says about your living. My Bible says in Proverbs 25:19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Everybody else knows your track record, but you don't want to admit it. Everybody else knows your reputation, but you don't want to admit it. Everybody knows that you lie, you exaggerate, you don't keep your word, you break your promises, you're not reliable, you're not dependable, you're two-faced, you talk behind someone's back when they're not present, you're stubborn, you're disobedient, you're rebellious, you're backslidden. That's why you need this kind of preaching. Then there's others, the mere word of something in the Bible, they feel so convicted about it. I cannot tell you how often, I preach on some sermon like I'm preaching tonight, and Deacon Hallett comes to me and says, I'm sorry, I let you down again. I said, bud, get out of my face. I said, you're probably one of the only few that are doing something for God. In his 80s. After I get done a sermon like this, he's going to come to me if I didn't say it now. He would have come and said, I'm sorry. I can't do what I'm supposed to do. I'm sorry. Hey, where's the other 95% of yous? Where's the other 98% of yous that don't tithe, don't go sowing, don't come to church faithful? Oh, you can't come, but he's 83 years old, 82 years old, with an oxygen tank and taking care of Cindy in her 50s, or I don't know how old she is. How old are you, Cindy? 60, 50? Uh-huh. I think we're the same age. But you can't do it, right? Okay. It's just somebody's mature and somebody's immature. You don't know anything about life if you're immature. You need to learn about finances. You need to learn about money. You need to learn about guns. You need to learn about politics. Can I tell you this much? I cannot stand the Republican Party. Cannot stand it. But I hate the Democratic Party. Do you understand that? I cannot stand the Republican Party, and I hate the Democrat Party. You ought to learn to be a libertarian, because that's what's in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. But you don't plan ahead. Your marriage is falling apart. You don't care how to raise your children or train your children or teach your children. You don't know what it is to have a relationship with somebody. We're immature. We're going after lust instead of love. You're not organized. You're disorderly. You're not planning ahead. You're withholding love from somebody because you're selfish. You're holding friendship from somebody. You're emotionally depressed or emotionally unstable. You're illogical. You're immature. You just want to laugh and have fun. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as you do it within the confines of the Word of God. But you're not content, and you don't have joy. And by the way, all these are decisions and choices that you make. You want to blame other people? You want to fault other people? You don't want to acknowledge it's your own fault, your own sin? You don't want to admit it? You don't want to confess it? You don't want to live a sacrificial life until death? You don't want to give or help or encourage? And then other things I have to warn. I have to lift up my voice like a trumpet, the Bible says. I have to tell you, there's dangers ahead. There's traps ahead. There's snares ahead. The enemy is ahead. There's artificial flavors in religious circles. There's artificial colors in religious circles. There's artificial preservatives in religious circles. There's too much sugar, and sugar is the enemy of the body's health. Get yourself a King James Bible and start reading it. Amen. That's why they hate the man of God, Micaiah. Ahab said he never preached anything good about me. I hate him. He's illegal. You don't even know what the word legalist is. You don't even look it up in the dictionary. I'll tell you how immature they are. Yeah, that's why they laughed and mocked and scorned the men of God, and Job and Moses and Joshua and Caleb and David and Elijah and Elisha and Jeremiah and Paul and John the Baptist. I can go on and on until they took Jesus and arrested him and crucified him. They hated Jesus too. That's why people get mad. I say anything about dress standards. Well, you know, look, why don't you do yourself a favor and get a photo album out, or look up, go search online how people used to dress 100, 150 years ago. Look at how the Amish and the Mennonites say, I can't do that, Pastor. Okay. Street preaching, open air preaching. There's more in the Bible about that than the second coming of Jesus Christ. The reason pastors don't go outside and they refuse to do what God says, it's because they're too immature. They're not grown up. It's too uncouth. It's not popular. It doesn't get them a good press coverage. You know, they love the praise of men more than God, the Bible says. I'm just pointing things out, ladies and gentlemen. John the Baptist preached outside. Ezekiel preached outside. Jeremiah preached outside. The Apostle Paul preached outside. John Bunyan preached outside. 12 years he spent in the Bedford jail in England. And that's the only reason you had the First Amendment in the Constitution. Now we make fun and mock preachers that preach on street corners. My Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm about done. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 40, the Bible says, so they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. Hey, maybe what you've been eating is death and poison. Spiritual poison. 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, chapter number 3. Oh, I'm sorry. No, 1 Timothy, chapter 4. Adults grow up and mature. They grow up. That's the word. The King James Bible word is perfect. And the Bible says, ye that are spiritual, meat eaters, resource us in one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. We're not supposed to cast stumbling block before weak brothers to cause them to sin, because that'll be a sin against us. If you don't like or agree with the hard preaching, let the mature believers feast on meat while you stay on the milk. If everybody does that, everything would run much smoother in your life, in your church, in your home, in your relationships, at work, in your neighborhood, and the entire area you live in. If you don't like what somebody does, just let it go. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. I'm going to close with this. The only reason I'm running a little over today is because you took too long to listen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Well, that's talking about physical meat. Well, got news for you. It's also talking about spiritual meat, as we read in Hebrews and all through the rest of the Bible. If you want to suck on the milk, the sincere milk, have at it. That's good. If you do that, you'll grow. But my guess is you're not even drinking the milk of the word of God. You only want to drink about those parts where it talks about how God loves, but you're not even obeying what God says, because if you love me, you keep my commandments, he said. That's a fake love. Hey, are you saved this morning? If you're saved, you're either a newborn babe in Christ, or you're an adult, mature, or you're somewhere in between. Only you know. I don't know. Only you know. But if you just got saved in Christ, start drinking the King James Bible up, the sincere milk of the Word of God. And the older you get in Christ, you're going to want to get some meat. And you're going to enjoy Bible studies. And you're going to enjoy preaching. And you're going to enjoy teaching. And you're going to enjoy sharing and studying. You're going to enjoy giving the gospel out. You're going to enjoy getting people saved. You're going to enjoy the work of the ministry. You're going to enjoy it the more you mature and grow up. You know what Paul said? I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. A well-balanced diet needs everything, not just milk. Let's all stand. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for being such a wonderful God. Your grace, your long-suffering, putting up with us, your patience with us. Dear God, help us to realize there's some things in the Bible, even Jesus said, there are hard sayings that even his disciples walked away from. And I know in the day and age that we live in today, Lord, that most of these pastors are fake phonies and frauds. If they don't realize as a pastor they need a King James Bible, they're a fake phony and fraud. You know that? Dear God, I pray, Lord, that you'd wake up some people. Lord, I pray they'll open their eyes. I pray they'll get online and do some search about the Word of God, the King James Bible. If that's the only thing they do, they'll start to grow. And they need to start drinking it and then eating it. I pray, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, that today would be their day of salvation. I pray, dear God, if anybody's saved, they've not been baptized, that today they would come forward and get baptized. And maybe there's some other needs or decisions that need to be made. Maybe people need to get rid of their old perversion, get a King James Bible. Maybe they need to start reading it. Maybe they need to start studying it. Oh, dear God, whatever your need is, whatever your will is in our lives, may you meet our needs. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying.